fundamentals of true Americanism clearly set forth in the symbolism of our great seal. The objective of this presentation is to set before you as briefly as is consistent with clearness certain facts concerning the history, symbolism, and significance of the great seal, our national arms. But before we take up the official history of the seal, let us consider for a moment the question, how did the Great Seal of the United States originate? It was late in the afternoon of July the 4th, 1776, after the members of the Continental Congress had signed the Declaration of Independence, that a resolution was passed. I would like to read it. Resolved that Dr. Franklin, Mr. J. Adams, and Mr. Jefferson be a committee to prepare a device for a seal of the United States of America. All three men were members of the committee that had drawn up the Declaration of Independence. The purpose of wanting a seal was to complete the Act of Independence by formally adopting an official sign of sovereignty and a national coat of arms. And as I pictorially present the story of the Great Seal, keep in mind that the very purpose of heraldic emblems is to provide continuing evidence of family, tribal, and racial identity from generation to generation. In view of this, one wonders why the historians have paid so little attention to heraldic emblems in their attempt to record the origin and history of the peoples of Western Europe and Britain, and particularly those that later moved across the sea to America. In the design proposed by this first committee, the obverse, or front of the seal, was a coat of arms in six quarters, with emblems representing England, Scotland, Ireland, France, Germany, and Holland, the countries from which the new nation had been peopled. Also proposed at that time for the obverse was the Eye of Providence in a radiant triangle, and the motto E Pluribus Unum, meaning one out of many. However, it took 6 years and three committees before a device for the emblem of the United States was accepted by the Congress. This delay was not from a dearth of ideas, but that their ideas tended to transcend the miniature confines of a seal and the strict conventions of heraldry. It is interesting to note that most of the designs submitted for approval bore Israelitish symbols. For example, Jefferson proposing the children of Israel in the wilderness, being led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and Franklin proposing Moses lifting up his hand, dividing the Red Sea, while Pharaoh and his chariot were overwhelmed by the waters. When I use the word Israelitish, I would like to make it very clear that I do not mean Jewish, a word that means remnant of Judah, and is properly used as a term to denote this small remnant of the greater number of Semitic or Hebrew people. What I do mean is that the origin of the suggested designs can be traced back to the whole 12 tribes of Israel that came out of the land of Egypt under the command of Moses over 9 centuries before Judaism came into existence. Let us now examine the Great Seal of the United States. The design finally accepted for the Great Seal, as is fairly well known, displays the American bald eagle with a cluster of 13 stars in a glory cloud above its head, and on its breast a shield of 13 pale rays banded across at the top with a broad chief. From the eagle's beak flutters a scroll bearing in 13 letters the motto, E Pluribus Unum, meaning one out of many. In the eagle's right talon is an olive branch with 13 leaves and 13 berries, and in its left talon, 13 arrows fledged with 13 feathers. It is the reverse seal which is seldom seen in official use and is less known, although it is found on the left of our $1 bill. It has never been used as a seal as such. Its design has as its central figure an unfinished pyramid, over which is the all-seeing eye of God in a triangle, surrounded by a glory emanation of light. Above the eye are the Latin words, Anno Septis, translated as, "He, God, has favored our undertakings." And beneath the pyramid, the words Novus Ordo Secularum mean, "We are the new order of the ages." Above this model, the numerical letters 1776 A.D. Together, the two sides represent the coat of arms of the United States of America. Bear in mind that a coat of arms of a family or a nation is never taken lightly. Much thought is given to the design, and every detail is considered at length. The rich traditions of the past, the hopes of the future, ancestry, faith, all of these and more play a part in its design. The Great Seal of the United States is no exception. Its emblazoned facts bristle with symbolic significances. It is important that Americans recognize this symbolism and understand that this nation and its insignia were not evolved by chance. Symbolism is not only natural in general, but Christ himself taught by symbols. To quote the scriptures, "Without a parable or symbol spake he not unto them." So with an open Bible as our guide, let us examine the various devices of our national seal, which are the symbols of our heritage and our destiny. The eagle is an ancient symbol of spiritual vision. It was supposed to be the only creature that could look directly into the sun. In American heraldry, the eagle symbolizes the people of the United States. The scriptures make many references to the eagle. Job 39:29 refers to its piercing eye. Job 39:30 to its courage. Deuteronomy 28 verse 49 to its swiftness. Job 39:28 refers to the safety of its dwelling place and the remarkable solicitude with which it protects its young and teaches them to fly. In doing so, if the young birds become weary or fearful, it takes them on its back and carries them to safety. In Exodus 19 verse 4, we are told that God delivered his people out of Egypt and bore them upon eagle's wings. Revelation 12 verse 14 tells of the woman Israel fleeing into the wilderness and being given, to quote the scriptures, two wings of a great eagle. Thus upon our great seal is reference to escape from the bondage of Egypt to the freedom of a place set apart for us under the express favor of divine protection. Deuteronomy 32 tells us that in the very beginning, God laid out the boundaries of the nations, and it is not too great a stretch of faith to believe that even at that early date, this land of ours was left desolate and set apart for the great nation of the latter days. The eagle is holding in its dexter or right talon an olive branch. The branch has 13 leaves and 13 berries, and signifies peace. In the scriptures, we find the olive tree is symbolic of Israel, whereas the fig tree was of Judah. Jeremiah speaks of the 10-tribed kingdom of Israel after they were cast out of the land for sin and before they had found grace in the wilderness in these words, reading from Jeremiah 11, verse 16. "The Lord called thy name a green olive tree and of goodly fruit." Paul emphatically points out in his epistle to the Romans that the good olive tree is Israel. Hosea also speaks of this Joseph Israelitish nation, reading from Hosea chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. "I will be as a dew unto Israel," and continuing, "his branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree." Jacob prophesied of Joseph as follows, reading from Genesis 49, verse 22. "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall." How true this is of our nation, whose people landed on these shores as branches running over a wall, as they were guided and led by God. The 13 arrows in the sinister or left talon of the eagle are those of Manasseh, the victorious son of Joseph, whose bow is to abide in strength, and whose arms are made strong by the God of his father, Jacob, and who never has been and never will be conquered, for quoting from Isaiah 54, verse 17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." The Word of God reveals the meaning of the arrows as symbols of war power, and the sons of Jacob have always been famous archers in the hands of God. Jeremiah 51, verse 20, describes Israel as God's battle axe and weapons of war. The arrows of the Almighty protect His nation and ensure His peace at home. Our national coinage also reminds us that in God we trust. It is recorded in Chronicles 5, verse 20, that Israel of old cried to God in the battle, and He was entreated of them because they put their trust in Him. The shield carries the 13 paleways or stripes banded across the top in blue. Each strip is of equal width, 7 of them white and 6 red. The official explanation of the shield's symbolism is that the red and white stripes represent the 13 original colonies, supported by the blue chief, which unites the whole and represents Congress. And the colors taken from the American flag are white, signifying purity and innocence, red, signifying hardness and valor, blue, signifying vigilance, perseverance, and justice. The colors as used in the shield are reverse from the order of the flag, which begins in red and ends in red, showing an incompleted task. The shield begins in white and ends in white, showing a task completed. In symbolism, our flag portrays national interests, while the shield portrays spiritual interests. We also note that the colors red, white, and blue have their origins in the Bible. When the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, they were deposited in the Ark of the Covenant within the tabernacle, whose curtains were blue, purple, a combination of red and blue, and scarlet. And before the ark stood the table of showbread, with its cloth of blue, scarlet, and white. The scriptural significance of these colors are red, the color of blood, and signifies justice or judgment, reminding us of the blood of Christ shed for us. White, the color of snow, signifies purity or holiness. Blue, the color of the sky, signifies love, and because this is the color of the heavens, it is also representative of God. In the scriptures, blue was also given as a remembrance of the law, according to Numbers 15, verse 38 and 39. From earliest times, the shield has been the most honored of defensive arms, and although in modern times its distinctive use has all but passed away, yet its deep significance has continued to remain among all peoples as the emblem of supreme protection. The scriptures give glowing similes to shields withdrawn. In the scriptures, God is often called the shield of His people. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29 states, "Who is likened to thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help?" Genesis 15, verse 1 states, "I am thy shield." And God says to Abraham, "I will protect and defend thee." Psalms 5, verse 12 reads, "Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." And Psalms 91, verse 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Symbolically speaking, it is the shield of faith, as described in Ephesians 6:16, that protects our nation from the evil designs of our enemies. It is also very significant that the Lord God of Israel said to Manasseh, the 13th tribe of Israel, "I am thy shield." And that no nation on earth today is so marked with this number 13 as is the United States of America. We find this amazing number 13 pervades the great seal as well as the history of our country. Ancient manuscripts were often written on scrolls of parchment, mounted on rollers, and sealed. Such a scroll pictured on the Great Seal carries the words, "E pluribus unum," meaning one out of many, thus giving national testimony to the fact but we as a nation sprang out from among many nations or tribes. Even though at the time of our separation, our mother country Britain had not yet developed into a many-nation kingdom. It is noticeable that this motto, like the others on the Great Seal, contain 13 letters. The crest over the eagle's head is composed of the glory of God breaking from the clouds and shining upon 13 stars. It also symbolizes the glory of his people which he puts on them. Isaiah 46, verse 13 records God speaking of Israel as, "Israel, my glory." There is a very notable instance in the Bible of this glory appearing. Reading now from Exodus 16, verse 10. "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." In choosing the glory cloud as part of our national crest, we have denoted the presence of the Lord over and in the midst of our nation. The constellation of 13 stars in the midst of the glory cloud is composed of pentagrams or five-pointed stars, so arranged that their groupings form a hexagram or six-pointed star. This hexagram is composed of two equilateral triangles, and in each triangle are exactly 10 stars. This six-pointed star formed by the constellation is the Standard of Israel, also known as the Shield of David, and used by the Hebrew people centuries before being adopted by modern Judaism. The 13 stars not only represent the original 13 colonies, but also the coming together of the whole house of Israel. Now, this is shown to us in the prophetic dream of Joseph, in which we find the 13 heavenly bodies, that is, the 11 stars, the sun, and the moon, making obeisance to him. The interpretation of the dream given in the scriptures is that the 11 stars represent the 11 other sons of Jacob, or tribes of Israel. Joseph, being the 11th tribe, gave up his tribalship in favor of his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph's father Jacob, in adopting the two sons, made them two tribes, and placing the younger son Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Consequently, Ephraim took Joseph's place and became the 11th tribe, leaving Manasseh, who came after Benjamin, to become the 13th tribe. Then, because Levi was removed from being numbered among the tribes, the Bible continues to speak of the 12 tribes of Israel, although Manasseh remained the 13th tribe. Let us now consider the reverse side of the Great Seal. After Congress officially approved the design of the reverse seal, it was only after several attempts and over a period of 100 years before a die was cut that Congress would accept as fitting the lawful design. James Horton Whitehouse, chief designer for Tiffany & Company of New York, drew the official versions of the reverse seal as we see here in 1884. He was the 13th person responsible for the formulation of our national arms. When we examine the reverse seal, we find a symbolic pyramid composed of 13 courses of masonry, representing the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt, itself covering 13 acres. The official explanation of the use of the pyramid is that it represents strength and duration. The question is often asked, what is an Egyptian pyramid doing on the symbology of the United States of America? To find the answer to that question, let us consider the fact that William Barton, who was primarily responsible for the design of the reverse seal, was in authority on heraldry. His proposal in using the Great Pyramid on the seal would have been in keeping with the general rule of heraldry, which requires all designs to relate to the background or history of the subject for which a coat of arms is being created. It follows that the Great Pyramid must have played some part in the nation's past, or of the people making up that nation. With that thought in mind, let us also consider the fact that the unfinished Great Pyramid of Egypt was one of the great national monuments of the country where Joseph married and his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were born. The Great Pyramid was also a reminder of the children of Israel's long sojourn in the land of Egypt. Again, we find, like with many other aspects of the Great Seal, Israelitish origins. The Great Pyramid is the altar and pillar of Isaiah 19, verse 19 and 20, which was to be for a sign and a witness. By adopting this emblem, our nation has assumed itself to be the altar and pillar, which, in the day of which Isaiah the prophet wrote, this nation would be one of divine destiny through which all the nations of the earth are to be ultimately blessed. On the base of the pyramid are the numerical letters 1776 A.D., which denotes the birth of this God-favored nation, which was born in a day. It is noteworthy that the date 1776 A.D. is exactly 2,520 years from the captivity of the tribe of Manasseh by the Assyrians in 745 B.C. 2,520 years is the seven times punishment period promised each of the tribes of Israel for their sins. We find this in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 24. Then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. 1 Kings 14, verse 15 amplifies the punishment in these words: For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river Euphrates, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And the date 1776 is a ribbon, on which is written in Latin words, Novus Ordo Seclorum, translated as, We are the new order of the ages. This prophetic motto declares the beginning of a new nation, a nation established upon new principles, the nucleus of the kingdom of God on earth. Above the pyramid is the all-seeing mystical eye set in a triangular headstone or capstone. This is the emblem of the God of the Bible, from which is radiating the unclouded glory of the coming one, who is the hope of our race and nation. The eye also symbolizes the watchful God of Israel, watching over the destiny of this nation, and illustrates those prophetic words, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Concerning Israel, the Lord has said, quoting now from Jeremiah 24, verse 6, I will set mine eyes upon them for good. In Psalms 32, verse 8, God promises Israel, I will guide thee with mine eye. It is also written in Deuteronomy 32, verse 10, The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, meaning Israel, is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Above the eye we find another model, a new acceptus, meaning he hath prospered our undertakings or beginnings, and consisting of 13 letters. These beautiful sentiments upon the seal refer directly to the all-seeing eye in the radiant triangle as an emblem of him who prospered our undertakings. Again, we find its roots in the Bible, reading from Genesis 39, verse 2 and 3. And the Lord was with Joseph, continuing, The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Look again at these marks of America. Is it strange that their entire symbolism carries the marks of Israel? Not if you recognize that America is the regathering of lost Israel, the 10-tribe northern kingdom of Israel under Joseph, together with a majority of the southern kingdom of Judah, who were both carried away into Assyrian captivity. Israel was divorced from the Mosaic Law, and their identity temporarily lost to history. But God declared through Amos the prophet that although he would sift Israel among the nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet not the least grain would fall upon the ground. They were to be recognized in Christ, to enjoy the Israel birthright, although blind to their identity, in the appointed land, in fulfillment of God's promise to David. Reading now from 2 Samuel 7, verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. For since the children of Israel were in Palestine at the time of that covenant, it follows that the appointed place had to be somewhere else. Archaeology has found the physical clues which enable us to trace the so-called lost tribes of Israel as they migrated westward over the centuries to settle in Western Europe, the Isles of the Sea, and then on to America, the land in the wilderness, where we have been, as was prophesied in the Bible, concerning the house of Israel, blind to our identity. America itself is one of the characteristic marks by which Israel was to be known in the latter days, that is, after the completion of their seven times punishment. Reading from Isaiah 49, verse 20, now this is speaking of Joseph Israel. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, this place is too strait for me, give place to me that I may dwell. There is but one instance in recorded history, either ancient or modern, where a great people became the offspring of a great nation, and that nation is America, who became separated from England. Further evidence that America is Manasseh is found in Jeremiah 20, verse 21. Now, this is referring to the other child of Isaiah 49. Their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. What Jeremiah is prophesying here is a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. A nation in which the people are supreme. A republic. England can be none other than Ephraim, whom God promised to become a multitude of nations and ruled over by a king. Great Britain declared her commonwealth on January the 1st, 1801, exactly seven times, or 2,520 years from the captivity of Ephraim in 721 B.C. Britain's royal coat of arms symbolically points back to her origins, as well as the fact that her royal throne is the throne of David, shown by the Lion of Judah wearing the royal crown on the left. On the right side is shown the rampant unicorn, the emblem of the house or kingdom of Israel. Both emblems were prophesied by Balaam, the reluctant prophet, as symbolizing Israel. Reading from Numbers 23, verse 22 to 24. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift himself as a young lion. The royal motto reads, Dieu a mon droit, meaning God and my right. What right? It can be none other than the birthright given by Jacob to his son Joseph, who in turn divided it among his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. America awaits the dawning of the Novus Ordo Seclorum, or that new order of the ages, of which the prophet Isaiah wrote in these words, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning ended. Let us therefore give ear to that call, Arise, shine, that the glory of the Lord may through us be manifested unto all peoples and nations, and by that by our example they may understand and know the blessings of righteousness. This is the purpose and mission of us, his people Israel, and the reason for God having chosen us, so that we might be a channel of blessing to all mankind, and in doing so show forth his praise. this nation under God awaits the chief cornerstone, which was rejected by the builders and which has not yet been set on our national pyramid. There's hope is there on our great seal. It floats there in the glory, as if awaiting the moment when it shall descend to complete our national structure with a divine completion. May God bless America.